Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. And what we're going to be talking about today is really very related to mind power, but in a different way. Have you ever been around a child that has a special need? Well, my guest today, Karen Simmons, is going to be giving us a lot of good information on that. Now, Karen has been a guest on my show before. She is the founder and CEO of Autism Today. And, Karen, welcome.
Thank you, Donna. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I understand that you have got time to be in your office, actually, instead of being on the road speaking. You're one busy gal.
I feel like I live in a plane, you know. I bought myself one of those little beds that kind of blows up, you know, and it kind of set yourself down on it, and it's quite interesting.
I can imagine. Now, you're the founder and CEO of Autism Today.
Right.
This is where people can find out information and get in touch with people who are experienced and knowledgeable about this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a website that we're going to be sharing with people later on in the show that they can go to, because no matter who you are, you can get help. You need to know that there is a way of working with these children that have special needs. You have previously written a book, the Official Autism 101 Manual.
With the help of 44 other authors.
Yes.
I can't take all credit for that. We have 44 different authors that are in the books that are doctors, specialists in special diets, early intervention, people with autism and Asperger's syndrome that have written beautiful, beautiful stories in the book. So it's all the way kind of like an instant, easy-to-understand book from A to Z on autism.
You've also won an award with that. It was the Independence Publisher Book Gold Medal Award with that. But you've got another book that I received. It's called Chicken Soup for the Soul, Children with Special Needs.
Right.
And there are so many people that contributed stories for this, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think that that's one of the reasons why Chicken Soup for the Soul has been so successful as a series, because it is bringing together so many people from all over the world to share their stories and experiences. But today we're really going to be talking about kids.
Mm-hmm.
And for you, give us a little bit of the background on your own personal experience with children with autism.
Well, I have six children, and two have special needs. My son Jonathan, who's 16 and a half now, was diagnosed when he was 2.5 years old. And it's, you know, at first it was a devastating diagnosis. And, you know, we had to work through our whole denial, our grief process, which was all the way from denial to anger, you know, to finally to acceptance and understanding. And that's when we began searching out information. And I started going, you know, I traveled to Toronto at that time to find the conferences that would be helpful to me to understand his diagnosis, because it has a lot, you know, there's a lot of challenges around social skills,
mm-hmm.
communication, behavior, sensory integration, and all these things. You know, you have to learn about this stuff as soon as you find out. So that was my experience with Jonathan. And then after we did, you know, we got the diagnosis and we started working through all of his challenges. A couple of years later, I had another child and almost didn't make it. And then after that, he was diagnosed with a mild cerebral palsy. And, you know, I mean, we had to go through the same thing twice. So it can be very, very challenging for a parent who gets a diagnosis of any type of disability.
Now, so many of my listeners are parents.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of young mothers out there that might be carrying a child that may have a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
No woman in the world ever wants to not have the perfect baby.
Right.
But sometimes nature goes wacky.
That's
sometimes
right.
Sometimes things occur with body chemistry. Give us some insight on what autism is. Exactly how can it show itself? How can it come forth? How do you know that you have a child with autism?
With autism specifically. Well, when Jonathan was younger, 2 years old, he would walk downstairs and he wouldn't alternate his feet. Like he'd bring his left foot down and then he'd bring his right foot next to his left foot. So he led with one foot. Another sign was he'd spin things around. He'd run around in circles. He'd flap his hands in the air. And, you know, for a little kid to run around and flap their hands in the air, it looks like they're playing. But when you take that same child and then later in life they're still doing that, then, you know, it really looks out of place.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, they blend in a lot more easily because of the fact that it's an invisible disability. And people can't really necessarily tell that somebody has autism when they're younger. Maybe their eye contact isn't that good. Maybe their social skills aren't good. Maybe they don't hug mom goodbye. Like, that was one of the hardest things that I had to go through when I sent Jonathan off to school. He just walked out of the door and, you know, just didn't say goodbye, didn't do anything, just left. And, I mean, for him it was like he was on to the next thing. But for me as a mother, it was very hard because I felt unloved. But that's a little bit of a rant.
Well, how did you know, when did you find out, Karen? How was that diagnosis made? Because many people would, just by what you discovered with your son,
mm-hmm.
Here he is, he just goes off. There's no emotion on his part, and this is not considered normal. How did you find out that this behavior wasn't because your son was being obstinate or anything else? It was just part of this.
Who he was.
This situation.
Well, when I first found out or first started going down the pathway, it was not through my own choice. A lot of times parents are so close to the situation, they see normal, they see what they want to see in a situation. And they sometimes fall into this state of denial of seeing anything wrong or different about their child. So it was my sister-in-law, Anna, who came to me and she says, Karen, I think something is wrong with Jonathan. I think he might have autism. And it just so happened that she had just listened to this radio show, like we're on right now.
Right.
And she had listened to the whole thing, and it was an expert talking about watching for these early signs. She has a daughter that's almost the exact same age as Jonathan, so she had something to compare Jonathan to, somebody to compare Jonathan to. And, of course, I went down kicking and screaming,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it was like, my son!
Right.
You know, there's nothing wrong with my son. And she says, well, Karen, it's not going to hurt you just to take him to the doctor, just to have him checked out. And so I bit the bullet, and I took him, you know, kicking and screaming across the road to the doctor, and sure enough, the doctor says, well, we think he has autism. Bring him back in a year. And I went back to Anna, and I told her, and I was devastated. She says, no, you have to get more advice. So she helped me get the advice that I needed, you know. She said, you cannot wait a year. The most important thing that these kids need is early intervention. They need to be able to get the supports that they need as early as they possibly can. Get into programs, get into the right school, get the right expertise. And so fortunately, I think people are starting to understand the diagnosis and they're able to diagnose more easily. But it's a long road to hoe, I'll tell you.
It is. It's a long road and it's a difficult one. But when you have support, when you understand, lots mm-hmm. of times I think the greatest difficulty is when there isn't an understanding, when a parent may think, wow, I've done something wrong,
mm-hmm.
and it is a quirk of nature for all intents and purposes, and there's so many wonderful, wonderful ways that this can be worked with, but it does take effort, and it does take a different perspective and a different attitude.
Absolutely.
You have so many wonderful authors in this book, Children with Special Needs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them I wanted to bring up was by Deborah Rose, who is a private investigator. And she works a lot. She's an advocate for people with mental illness. And she's involved in all kinds of things. And she's got a 22-year-old college graduate a son with a degree in business management and marketing, and yet when he was a little tyke, nobody knew what he had in the way of a difficulty, and that had to do with being bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he goes into his teens, and it was just like one thing after the other, and I loved her story because finally she found someone that was able to diagnose what was wrong with him.
Mm-hmm.
And bipolar is a different term for a type of depression.
Mm-hmm.
And by golly, her story about her son, after they had gotten the diagnosis, he wanted to go out and celebrate, and he just said, "Why are you going to celebrate?"
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Don't you get it, Mom? We're celebrating because I'm sick. I'm not evil." Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's quite a story.
That is quite a story. And it's so nice when people can finally understand what it is that's going on, because they're living in this situation where they don't really understand why certain things are the way that they are. Like Alex, you know, we had to really struggle with him, you know, for his diagnosis. Like I said, he was given CP, and then 5 years later they took the diagnosis away. So there's all these different things that happen. People don't understand what he is. It's like he needs a user's manual,
mm-hmm.
you know, to understand, well, what makes him tick, what doesn't make him tick, what do you need to make sure you do, how does he process information, and I'm sure it's the same thing for the guy with the bipolar. If you understand what's going on with them, then they can better interact with the world. They just see it through different eyes. And so it's such a relief to be able to get a diagnosis that makes sense, and then it makes sense of their world, and it makes sense of the parents' world, and it makes sense of everything.
It does, and it helps on so many levels.
Absolutely.
Because it allows you to realize that there are options to work with, and that's one of the things that you are so passionate about, and that is helping people to understand that this isn't something that will imprison them.
Right.
It just means that they have to look at it differently and they can have support around them, which
right.
I think is so important. When you have a youngster, it's so difficult, especially when they're little and they can't really communicate. And even when they get to a particular age, let's say they start to go into teens, like Deborah Rose's son, my goodness, then you've got all the hormones kicking in and everything else. Talk about total insanity. Ouch.
I know. Puberty kicks in, and there, and you're off on a tan on a wild ride, let me tell you.
Now, let's talk a little bit about nutrition,
mm-hmm.
because that is something that has really had a very, very powerful impact on those that have been diagnosed with autism. How important is nutrition?
Well, I think nutrition is important for all of us, but even more so for people with special needs, and especially autism. Like, we have one of the authors in our book, Lisa Lewis, who is also the book that Jenny McCarthy happens to be recommending, but she's one of the authors in the Autism 101 book, and she has two books out called Special Diets for Special Kids, and it talks about gluten-free and casein-free diets, and they're phenomenal. They really do help get, you know, the child get their body to function more easily, and more their communication improve, their social skills improve, their behavior, which is the direct relationship to their ability to communicate, gets much better too. So you can't say this in 100% of the cases, and you can't really say anything in 100% of the cases, because, of course, there's no one-size-fits-all model for anything these days. But diet and nutrition have seriously helped a lot of people with autism and other types of special needs.
That it has. Now, there's a story in the book, Children with Special Needs. Janet Lynn Mitchell is the author, and she talks about when she's in a grocery store, she has just been given the diagnosis about her children, one of them having juvenile diabetes, and it just absolutely wiped her out. She had to go shopping, and she was in the store, and she's got two kids coming home from the hospital. She's terrified.
Mm-hmm.
She's absolutely terrified. She's got to give insulin. She's got to look at all kinds of things with food now that she never had to worry about. She's concerned what's going to work, what isn't going to work. Are the kids going to like what she chooses? Are they not? And I just loved it when she was standing in the store and she got so anxious that tears are running down her face. And this woman's voice comes across and asks her, "Honey, are you all right?"
Mm.
And she said, are you short of money? Why don't you let me help you?
Yeah.
And she said, "Oh, no, I'm fine. It's not the money." And she said, "Well, what is it?" So they have a conversation standing in the grocery aisle. A conversation here. And she says, "I'm overwhelmed. I'm bringing my kids home. I don't know what to do. I'm so stressed out." She said, "Well, isn't that nice? Home from the hospital. It's this perfect stranger, you know, standing there saying, hey, honey, isn't that great? Now we should have a party. Let me help you." And she stayed with her until she got through the store. And it was just, it's such a fabulous story. I mean, it's absolutely wonderful. And she said, "This woman's right. I have a fabulous reason to celebrate because my children are coming home from the hospital."
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What a wonderful story.
Mm-hmm. And you tell it so well. You're good at this.
Thank you. These are things that I think people need to remember.
Uh-huh.
They need to remember that we're not alone when
That's
we go
right.
through this. When we go through this. Let's talk about education a little bit.
Okay.
Because many times children with autism display certain patternings in school, which for most teachers, if they've not been educated in this, and I would say the majority of them have not,
yeah.
How in the world can a teacher be assisted? They're not a doctor, and a lot of doctors don't even recognize this.
You got that right.
Tell me about some of your experiences. Share them with my audience.
Sure.
So that those that are listening, if they know of anyone that has a child that might be going through some challenges, this may be able to give them an inside track on, hey, we might have an answer for you. Check this.
We actually have some tips that I just put together for a presentation that I'm doing about parent-teacher collaboration, you know, getting along and working and being on the same team. And I'd say that's really the most important thing, is that the parents and the teachers and the professionals all need to be on the same team for the child and work, you know, like be flexible and be resilient and get the egos out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens a lot of times, and has happened in my situation, you know, when my kids were younger, is the teachers may, you know, or the parents a lot of times say they know everything and that the other person doesn't, and the teachers may say the same thing. But we just need to look, you know, just try to explore and be flexible and resilient and explore as many different options as we possibly can when we're dealing with these kids and learn. It's basically the four areas that you're concerned with are communication, social skills, behavior, and sensory conditions. And they all affect how the child is going to, you know, get along in the class. And I realize that all these teachers have gone through this major shift in the last 20 years or so, where we went from one model of teaching school, like more of a segregated model, to an included model. And there's a lot of training that needs to happen in order to be able to address the needs of all the kids in the classroom, while you also have other kids with special needs and autism that may be screaming in the back of the room and you don't know how to deal with it. And there are a lot of techniques, and that's what we do, is we provide these resources to help people. You know, like for example, one idea that, like, if the child is really annoyed with noises or sensitive to lights, you could change the light type that you have in the room, or you could take tennis balls and you could put them on the bottom of the chairs so the chairs don't squeak.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you can move the child to the front of the room because maybe they need to have that more interaction. So there's lots of different tools and tips that, you know, can help these kids a lot.
Lauren.
And the parents and the teachers. One other thing I was thinking is, I don't know if this will ever happen or not, but I was thinking it'd be a really good reality TV show to have the parents and the teachers switch for a day.
Oh, that would be a trick.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Holy Moses.
Hmm?
That would be a trick.
I think it'd be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think the teachers would learn a lot, and I think the parents would learn a lot, you know?
More than likely, because they're two different environments, yet in many ways they're very much the same.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really are. Laura Dean was a teacher, and her story is featured in this book. And she ended up having a little boy by the name of Thomas. And he was a screamer. She was, that's just something we all love to have, right? A screamer. But he had come from a very abused environment, and he had a lot of difficulties, and she got sick. And one of the things she said she'd go home, and she was just praying. She said, I can't take this anymore. Nobody's helping me. You know, take this kid. Do something with him. I don't need him in my class anymore. You know, let's get honest. Those are the moments that you can have. And she forced herself to go back into the classroom. And something changed with her. Because what she started doing when he'd start to do his screaming is that she got very soft when she spoke to him and had a very firm voice. And she talked to him and she'd ask him his name. And I thought this was so sharp on her part, and he didn't know what to do. And finally he said his name was Thomas, and she said, tell me what's true about you, and he wouldn't answer her. And then she told him what she felt was true about him. His name was Thomas, he's a good boy. But now for him, again, she posed the question, what's true about you? And so he just repeated what she said. And little by little, she was getting his attention because she kept saying, you're a good boy. And his eyes started lifting, and his body relaxed. And she said, my name is Thomas. He said, my name is Thomas. And God gave me a good mind. She said, okay, now, Thomas, I want you to use your good mind. Go back to your desk and finish your work. And he didn't cause any disruptions for the rest of the day. So she did that every day with him because he had ideas about himself locked into his head. And one particular day, he made a comment how he was a bad boy and he was dumb. And then she talked to the kids in the rest of the class. She said, what's the truth about Thomas? And the kids started saying, he's smart. He's got a good mind. And he was responding to the other kids as well. And it didn't change anything overnight, but it was amazing how this kid turned around. And one day he turned to her as he was going out of the class and he said, love you. And that came out of the blue. She was in tears.
Yeah, I know.
It changed her life. She said she had no idea when she started to love that little kid. But she did. They teach you a lot, don't they?
They do. They certainly do. They teach you compassion, understanding, and they resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many things that you learn. That's one of the presentations I do as well, The Gift You Are, because I was talking to an audience of adults with special needs, and I was pointing out the gifts that they have given me, my own children have given me throughout my life. And there are a lot that I don't think I would have never received if I was not a special needs mom.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
Very, very thankful for all these gifts.
I want to address something because I have had people make statements that many times children that are born with disabilities or have special problems, maybe it would have been better off if they had never lived. You know, and that sounds like a pretty harsh statement.
Mm-hmm.
But people will have these attitudes. And I loved this story about a particular man.
Mm-hmm.
He was born on October 25th, 1881, in Malaga, Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the author is from Edmonton.
Uh-huh.
Where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is about a midwife and is saying to the men that are waiting for a child to be born, that the baby was stillborn.
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the men there, in fact, it was the baby's uncle and a physician. He was smoking a cigar. Boy, doesn't this sound romantic. He gets up, he walks over to the stairs, picks up the tiny baby that is not moving and it's totally blue, and he brings the baby to his face and breathes into his mouth. He said the first breath that filled that baby's tiny lungs was still heavily scented with cigar smoke. Boy, is that a graphic description.
Mm-hmm.
The mother thought the baby was going to not make it, but guess what? The baby did make it. And there was the wonder, was this baby going to be able to make it physically, emotionally, mentally? The child learned how to walk and talk, learned to draw and paint, and it was said the people laughed when he would put eyes in the wrong place or make silly mistakes on other details, but other people actually thought his drawings were quite good. Well, in 1973, that baby of 1881, in 1973, died, and that was Pablo Picasso.
You know, every time I hear that story, I get chills. I just get chills. And it's what we really believe and what we're about is positive attitudinal healing and helping people shift their attitudes and focus on the strengths that people have. Instead of the disability, focus on the ability. Yeah, and he certainly had a lot of ability.
Yes, they do. Now, I love your story about Jonathan. The one where he was in the bathroom. You must tell that one. I just think that's
okay.
So cool.
Well, when I came home one day, and that's my phone, okay. When I came home one day after work, Jonathan is standing in the bathroom, and he was, he was about 7 years old at the time, and he's dripping wet, soaking naked, and covered from head to toe in clear deodorant. And I looked at him, and I said, Jonathan, what on earth are you doing? And he says, well, and then he walks over, he says, I just wanted to see if it worked, Mom. And so he walks over and he picks up the soft and dry deodorant. And I said, if what worked? And he said, well, see, right here it says provides protection against wetness. So I thought I'd get in the tub to see if it worked. And he was dead serious, too. He's full of stories.
And it didn't, did it?
No, it didn't work. It did not work. But...
Oh, kids, they are something else, and you have so much to share. This book is Children with Special Needs, Stories of Love, Understanding for Those Who Have Cared and Continue to Care for Children with Disabilities. Karen Simmons is my guest. Karen, what is your website that people can go to find out more information if they have a loved one, someone that is close to them that's going through difficulties, they need help, where do they go?
It's www.autismtoday.com, and that's spelled AUTISMTODAY.com.
AutismToday.com. Karen, as we're closing out our chat today, what would you like to leave my audience with to help them understand that sometimes it's a good idea to ask questions and not to give up because there are ways of getting help and assistance? What would you like to leave them with?
Well, I would say definitely ask questions and make sure that you seek out the best expertise in whatever area that you are challenged by. Trust the process and focus on the long-term goal. Like, if you're flying to Miami, you want to make sure you get on the right plane. So you want to make sure that you're guiding the person that has special needs down the right pathway that's going to work for their lives. You know, not necessarily what you want them to be, but what they're ultimately going to be best at and what they're going to want to be. And to keep a positive attitude and keep focusing on the positives and the gifts and the strengths that people have with special needs.
That is so true. And there's, again, there's many different expressions of this, and I think that's where the big challenge comes in. Because too often people will make descriptions and try to put something in a box.
All right.
And it doesn't work. It's not that box. And I think that's one of the biggest frustrations that people have, because they'll say, gee whiz, this is supposed to work, but my child, it didn't work. How come? What's wrong? Is this a failure? And you just have to say, no, it's not a failure. You may just need to look in a different direction. And that's what your group is all about. So for those of you listening, go to the website that Karen Simmons has put together, autismtoday.com. You'll find a listing about so many individuals, professional, non-professional. You'll read the stories. You'll find out what you need to know and maybe what someone who has a child that's in need needs to know. They need to know they're not alone. And Karen, thank you so much for being my guest today.
Thank you too, Donna. It's a pleasure as always, and I really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you so much. It's a delight having you.
Thank you.
Good success. This is Donna Sebo. We are going to be taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away now.
Hello?
Just a minute, Karen.
Okay.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo, and I want to let you know telephone lines are now open if you'd like to call in and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Here are the toll-free numbers of 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227 for the U.S. Canadians, 888-810-8322. That's 888-810-8322. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. When you call in, all I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then let me do my thing, and I'll give you my perspectives and insights, and after that, you're welcome to ask me a question about anything that you might be interested in getting insight on. Also, for those of you who are first-time listeners to the Donna Sebo Show, I'm so delighted you've been able to join us and become a part of our listening family. I am on the road. I'm in California, and we are going to be having tomorrow a Best of Donna. And then on Friday, it's going to be an open mic hour. So the entire hour, I'm going to be sharing different things with you. I chose not to have a guest on the show with me, but that's okay. We're going to have all kinds of good things to share. And again, the whole hour will be open to those of you that want to call in. So let's get moving, because I have got so many different odds and ends of items that I wanted to share with you today. And don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you want to chat. 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-810-8322, and a direct line of 530-876-3222. People are willing to go an extra mile. There was a woman by the name of Trish and her boyfriend Joseph. They were working on an organic farm in rural Missouri when they decided they were going to move into the city. Now, when they were in the city, they met a gal by the name of Amy who decided she wanted to start a youth gardening program. So guess what they did? Now, this may sound a little wacko in the big city. Why have a big gardening program? Well, they decided they were going to apply for a state grant. they were given the grant, which amounted to $7,000, and they were able, with that $7,000, to buy six city-owned lots in a very depressed area of St. Louis, Missouri. Now, they started what is called the New Roots Urban Farm. In exchange for weekly bundles of produce, shareholders in the New Roots Urban Farm paid $500 apiece to help buy seeds and tools. Other businesses donated soil and compost filled and fertilized raised planting beds. Today, they are known for having a significant impact on urban, a national urban agricultural trend. And they have twice as many shareholders, plus a farmer's market with all kinds of freshly grown vegetables. Twice a week, the neighborhood kids tend crops and cook what they pick. And you know what? These people said, we're so proud of what we have done because not only are the kids involved, but they're learning about nutrition. They're gaining a sense of pride about being involved in a project that is helping to feed a lot of people. And two, they're learning how to cook this food, and they're learning about business as well. Now, how much better can it get than that? People make a difference. When you are involved in something, when you have a concept, an idea, it always is going to take teamwork to make it happen. Nobody ever does it by themselves. These three individuals, Trish, Joseph, and Amy, they had an idea. But behind the idea, there had to come action. They went for a grant. They got that grant. They then were able to grow into a business that operated on a level where it benefited in so many ways. Think of the impact that it had, not just on the adults, but on those people that were putting their dollars in to make this a reality. It gave them a sense of pride. Plus, they knew it was making a difference in the lives and the well-being of the young people that were participating. So if you have a dream, if you have an idea, if you have a concept, don't toss it out. See what you can do with it. And maybe with the help of someone else, you might be able to make that dream that will just be talk in the beginning, make it come into a reality that is going to be productive on multiple levels. All it takes is a team to bring it together. But again, it originates with a thought. Without the thought, there's never going to be the action. And action has to follow that thought so that things are going to get done. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-810-8322, or call me directly on 530-876-3222. Quickly, I want to mention to those of you who are listening to me from New York City, I am going to be in New York City next week. Yes, that's my final trip for the month of October, but I'm going to be in New York City, and if you'd like to call and meet with me in private, all you have to do is call me on my 800 number, 872-8852. I do have a small window of time. These trips that I'm doing are quite tight in the program because I've had so many this month. So all you need to do is give me a call, and we can set up a time. And for those of you who might be in Southern California listening to this broadcast, just know that I am going to be available for private consultations while I'm here as well. So give me a call at my office at 800-872-8852 if you'd like to meet with me. Well, I have said for years that I wanted, when I got old and gray, and I'm not there yet, I'd love to have a gyrocopter that was a cinnamon hot red, okay? That was one of my so-called fantasies. Well, the truth is, I always enjoyed the cartoons, the Jetsons. I always enjoyed that little vehicle that went zip, 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 boom, boom, and you were wherever you needed to be in just a very short period of time. Well, I came across some information. I thought, yes, it's getting closer and closer. The life of the Jetsons, well, it's going to be happening with us perhaps sooner than we think. Do you happen to have $95,000 to $145,000 in pocket change that you just don't know what to do with? Well, let me give you a suggestion. How about air pooling? Mm-hmm. That's right. Two recent developments may be bringing us closer and closer to the modern lifestyle that the Jetsons, in their cartoon antics, promised us so very long ago. Flying cars. Mm-hmm. Yep. They're coming. There's a company called Mueller International. This past July said it's begun production on what it calls the Sky Car. Oh, I fell in love with it immediately. Why? Because it is cinnamon sassy hot red. Yes. Now, NASA has also staged its first ever personal air vehicle challenge, which is meant to find top flight fixes for our commuter headaches. Well, can you imagine it being just as busy up in the air as it is down on the ground? Mm-hmm. The way population is growing, it very well could be. What if this is something where we're going to be able to swap the HOV lane for the Hoover lane? How does that sound? I think it sounds a bit exciting. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you would like to chat. And there's some other things I'm going to be sharing with you. Don't forget, I'm down here in California on a business trip, and also I'm going to be in New York next week. So if you want to reach me, just give me a call. And if you have special stories or something that you would like to share, then I would like to invite you to send me an email to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. I would love to have your stories, your recipes, anything special that you feel that I should know about that you would like for me to share with my listening audience. Go ahead and send it along. I would love to hear from you. And yes, because I'm on the road, I'm a little bit behind in getting back to my emails, but just know I'm going to be able to do that. I was just talking to you about a potential aircraft that we might be utilizing to travel from one space to another. It takes education. It takes a love of science. It takes curiosity to bring things like this to the table of productivity. Where are we in the United States? How are we faring? Well, apparently we are falling through the cracks. So for those of you that have young people, encourage them in science. We're considered the land of opportunity. Millions of people are trying even today to be able to come into the United States so that they can have the opportunity to live a life according to what they desire, to their dreams, and they're willing to work for it. Well, this land of opportunity, one-third of the graduates of the U.S. Science and Engineering PhD programs come from other countries, one-third of them. These skilled workers have tended to stay here with us, and they often start high-tech businesses that generate over $52 billion in sales and provided 450,000 jobs in the year 2006. But we've got a big backlog in immigration paperwork, and, you know, there's just all kinds of changes that have been going on where we're not having a lot of those people come into our country today. But let me give you a few other details that you may not be aware of. Do you know that Ireland has increased its investment in research fivefold between 2000 and 2006? Here in the United States, we are experiencing a stagnation. In 1992, the U.S. generated 56% of the world's most cited scientific articles. By 2003, it published only 46.5%. And while we are sort of falling behind, papers that were published in the European Union soared from 166,000 to 220,000. We've grown a little bit, but we're not keeping up with Europe and Asia. And, of course, China, well, they have had an improved economy. And what happens when you've gone from a very oppressed environment and you have an economy that's allowing you to do some things for yourself? Well, you just absolutely explode. And that's what China has done. They surpassed us in the number of engineering and technology PhDs in 2003. 9,427 students graduated there in 2005, but only 7,720 graduated in the U.S. It's important for us to remember, encouraging education is so important. We don't have anything such as a free lunch, even in the United States. We must make an investment in our students and make them aware of the fact that math and science are extremely important. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to take a break for just a moment. We come back. Phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-810-8322 or 530-876-3222. We'll be back in just a moment.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right, Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and phone lines are open, 877-876-5227, or Canadians, 888-810-8322. I wanted to let you know who's going to be coming up with me. Now, tomorrow, remember, we're going to be having the best of Donna, and that's because I'm on the road. And then on this Friday, we're going to have an open mic day, where during the entire hour, you will have the opportunity to call in. But I've got lots of little goodies that I wanted to share with you. So I opted not to have a guest on Friday, so just know you have more of an opportunity to chat if you would like to do that. But I wanted to let you know what was coming up next week. We're going to be talking with Judy Strong, No Time to Grieve, and it's a part of our lives sometimes we don't want to discuss. People often have an attitude when it comes to losing a loved one or a pet or someone that something happens, and it's how do you deal with the grief? Well, we're going to find out from Judy suggestions that will happen. And then Ron Chapman, his wonderful publication is What a Wonderful World, How to Look at Life with not just optimism, but with an understanding you can make a difference. And then we have Dr. Wurzbacher that's going to be on with us next week, and I love this woman. The title of her book is Your Doctor Said What? Yes, she's going to be talking both as a physician as well as a patient, and I think you will absolutely love her. And then we're going to be talking about how apples are square. And if that one doesn't grab your imagination, that title, well, I know the topic will, and you'll have to stay tuned so you'll know what it is. We'll be talking about how to use stress to fuel your success. And we'll also have, for Halloween, we're going to have the All Hallows Eve, the story of the Halloween Fairy. So we've just got a wonderful lineup of guests that are coming up. Be sure to check on the BBS website for the listing of the guests, the dates that they're going to be on. Tell your friends, and just know that if you miss a show, you can always go into the BBS archives, and you can replay it as at your leisure. When I'm down here in an area that is so heavy with traffic, just not unlike the way it is up in the Pacific Northwest, we have equal traffic congestion to what goes on down here in the Los Angeles area. One of the biggest components regarding safety that is brought up again and again is cell phones. Yes, people are not paying attention, and it's awful what is happening. Do you know that we have $230 billion annually that's due to distracted drivers? I can't tell you how many times I have been at a stop, at an intersection, and someone's supposed to stop at a stop sign, and they are talking on the phone. They don't stop. They keep on rolling. And it really is important that you pay attention to what is going on, because it just takes a split second. And if you're tailgating, you end up in somebody's trunk, or you end up swerving into another lane. Cell phones, you need to be responsible with them. The nationwide survey that was done in 2006 surveyed 1,200 Americans. 80% of these drivers were considered multitaskers. 59% said they were not distracted drivers. Well, after they did their evaluation, they found that wasn't the case at all. People adjusting the radios and CDs, getting into accidents, 82%. Talking on cell phones, 73%. Eating a snack, 68%. Text messaging, 19%. Talking to kids, 14%. And ladies out there putting on makeup while they're driving, excuse me, you shouldn't be doing this. It is absolutely amazing what we do. Now, this guy that was giving the information that I am referring to right now, Max Alexander is his name, and he said he participated in an NADS-1 test, and he said it was the most sophisticated driving simulator in the world. And what they wanted him to participate in was this particular plan to recreate a study they had done 3 years ago on how cell phones affect driving ability. Now, he said the simulator was a real car, and the day he did it, it was a 1997 Jeep Cherokee with about 139,000 miles, fitted inside a 24-foot dome with a 360-degree photorealistic projection system. He said everything was normal except for two small eye tracking cameras and some infrared lights. And he said, there's no engine, everything's packed with computer gear that translates your driving moves into actual movement. And it's mounted on a high-frequency vibration actuator that stimulates road conditions. So the speakers at the ground level, it sounds just like you're right on the freeway. And he said, it's just absolutely incredible. So they had him do this test. They told him to pick up a handheld phone and dial one of several numbers posted on the dashboard. And earlier, he said he'd been briefed on a recorded, about a recorded voice on the line, reciting a series of simple sentences containing a subject, verb, and object, such as, the shortstop caught the ball. And after you listened to four sentences, he would be asked to recall either the subjects or the objects. And it's just all kinds of things that they were going to ask him. He also was going to have to scan the landscape for a particular pedestrian wearing a University of Iowa team jersey who will keep popping up alongside the road. And every time he sees this person pop up, he has to press a button on the steering wheel. And he said in the beginning, he really did fine. And he said, but all of a sudden, I'm finding, uh-oh, there's a car in front of me. I've got to put on the brakes. He's trying to listen to the phone. He's slowing down. He's causing cars behind him to tailgate and swerve. Remember, this is a simulator. And he said they were maintaining a 45-mile-an-hour speed limit. And he said 20 minutes later, he was dripping with perspiration. And he said, I was really glad this cruise that I was taking wasn't going anywhere. But he said, whoa, it was a lot of work. He wanted to know how he had done, and he thought he'd done pretty well. He said, you know what? I found out that, like many experienced drivers, I will slow down when I'm distracted. And he said, you know, this just is okay in some instances, but it's because you're distracted. Often they found with younger drivers, they would just plow ahead while talking on the phone. Some didn't even stop after they had hit a car. So he found that he was performing about average. And when he was talking on the phone, there was a 20 to 25% delay in adjusting speed when the car in front of him would slow down. So he said, that's enough time to cause an accident. Be aware, multitasking in the car when you're driving is not such a good thing. So pay attention, be be alert and be wise. And if someone calls you, don't answer the phone. Let it go to voicemail. Leave it alone. You don't need to take a chance on being in the wrong lane at the wrong time in your vehicle and maybe kissing somebody else's vehicle in a way that would not make you happy. This is Donna Sebo. We are out of time today. Remember always, you are the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Tomorrow will be the best of Donna. We'll be back live on Friday, same time, same place, right here at bbsradio.com. God bless. Have a fabulous day. Know that you are the best. Period. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.